Hello, everybody, and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of December 2018. I always threaten that the December calls will all get canceled because everybody's too into other stuff by the end of the year, but I also feel like I want to be around to support everybody in whatever they need. So whatever you need, whatever questions you have, do you have questions about a particular client? Do you have particular content related questions? Do you have marketing kind of questions? Whatever it is about you and your business and how to move you forward. So I'm here to answer whatever questions. I'm going to look in the chat, the Q&A, to see if anybody typed in questions in advance. And it doesn't look like it. Great. And then the chat, it looks like it's just a small group of us right now. So Michelle, Susan joined us. Yay.
Yep. And so I'll just take a moment. And then I see Michelle has her hand raised, but I just wanted to take a moment to encourage people. I'm actually just finishing reviewing a couple more people who are going for their insulin resistant practitioner certification. And so I'm really encouraging people to finish their certifications. If you have any questions, to please reach out and let me know. And just as a basic, you make sure that you finished all of your quizzes. Now, I know many people did it when we did it on Exam Professor. I would still encourage you to go through and do them again. And part of that reason is the questions that we have now, some of them are different and we have more. And so even if you did it before an Exam Professor, if it's been that long and you're still not had your finished your certification, I encourage you to go back and do the quizzes again. So anyway, so you have to pass your quizzes. You have a couple of audio or video, whichever platform you prefer, just about 20 minutes of you interacting with your client. So we have an idea of how you are with your client, the kind of questions that you're asking, and how you're presenting the material. And so those are two different ones. And then you can use the same two where you write a case study or a history, I should say. And we have examples within each of the different modules of what we ask for in that case write-up. And then you do have one person that you submit where you do like a coaching practicum. Now, if you've been one of our sweet spot coaches or digestive mastery coaches, that can work for that. Mm-hmm. But again, I just really wanted to encourage people to do that. And if you have any questions or are not feeling confident, reach out to me at coachlynn@drritamarie.com, and I'll be happy to work over that with you.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding people about that. So that goes for IRSPT or CMDS. And obviously, those of you who are in NEPT can do either one of those in whatever order you want to. And it's a great stepping stone to the full certification because, you know, what our goal is to really help you to reinforce the learning. And I know tests are always scary. I want to take a test. But the point is these are multiple choice open book tests. And it's going to reinforce the learning. And if you're confused, we don't even time them. At some point, we might change
that
certification programs. But, you know, it's like you have 2 hours to complete this. We just want you to learn the process of, you know, oh, I don't know the answer to that. Let me look it up. Yay. I mean, that's what life is about. If I'm looking at a new client and I go, oh, well, they have this, you know, condition that I haven't studied in 20 years. I want to look it up and I'm going to take as much time as I need to really learn it. And I know a lot of you are like that. You're researchers, right? And so the point of the test is to have you really.
It's another learning tool.
It's another learning tool, right? And if we say, you know, you have to pass it in three tries. If at three tries you don't pass it, it's not like we're going to say goodbye. You know, there will be some opportunity for us to support you and help you to figure out why and give you some, maybe some exercises or a client to work on or a particular something to go read to really help you to reinforce that. So it's, we're not out here to trick you. We're not here to,
right.
Like my exams, my boards were like brutal. That was, is it A or B or A plus B, A plus B, but not C. And you're like going, ah, you just confused my whole brain. No, we're not here to do that. We're here to help support you. And those of you who are on here who've done it, you know, it's a great process and it feels good. Even if the certification doesn't mean anything to you, you're not going to put it on your website, which we encourage you to do. But still, it's just the fact that somebody else went through and said, yeah, you got this, girl. Go for it. Or you guy. You know, you got this. You can do this. Anyway, that's
well, and if you don't pass it the first time, I would say reach out then so we can go over and find out where the hiccup is. You know, I was a homeschooling mom. I am a homeschooling mom. I'm not going to give you the answer. I can direct you to where to look for it. But, and even if you did pass it and you still have some questions, either bring them up here, schedule a time to talk, however we can support you. Because like you were saying, the main goal is that you feel empowered with this information, where to find the information, and then go to your clients so you can educate them so they're empowered with the information.
Yep. And what I'm going to also say is we've been very lax about, you know, the time period in terms of getting it done. And, you know, it is a lot of work on our part to do the certification. So we are going to change that policy. We were going to change that policy 6 months ago or a year ago. It never happened. But in order to give you like a certain, you know, you have a year to do this or you have to pay an additional certification fee, you know, that kind of thing. So I would get it while you can. Those of you who, you know, the last time we offered, you know, a whole, you know, in a big way, IRSBT or CMDS was a while ago. So you should have been able to make it through that. So we really encourage you to do that. For any PT students, it's different. But if you're just individually in those programs, I really highly encourage you to do it before we change the policy. All right, Michelle. Thank you, Lynn. Michelle, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
I can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Two things. I'm in the certification program with Dr. Weatherby, and if anyone else is interested, he's doing a certification on blood chemistry. And it's absolutely mm-hmm. fantastic. I mean, I did his previous program and he has really expanded it tremendously. And in the certification mm-hmm. program, he even does calls with us to go through cases and things of that nature. So it's really been helpful and, in deepening my understanding of blood chemistry. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is I've started doing my Heart Song program. I want to thank you guys for encouraging me and supporting me. Yay. I had a question because one of my students is Gail. Well, mm-hmm. one was Gail. She got really interesting and wrote an email to another. Well, she thought she wrote an email to another student, but she ended up sending it to me with some rather spicy words. Saying that she wanted her funds back. And so I kindly said, thank you for your email and I will immediately refund your purchase, which I did. And I wanted to know, Lynn, how do you deal with that?
How do you deal with refund requests or people saying things that they didn't intend you to hear, but you hear?
Well, the challenge has been, it was like she couldn't do anything with technology. She couldn't even open an email,
yeah.
You know, and then she became very, I guess, overwhelmed, and started spiraling. I spent quite a bit of time working with her one-on-one, trying to troubleshoot with her. At one point, I was even working with her, and her husband was there trying to open her emails for her and things of that nature. And I know that you have a lot of experience dealing with foggy people.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if it's something where, you know, you just simply at certain points say, okay, you're not able to navigate the waters and there's really nothing more that I can do, or if you have some secret, wondrous, magical wand.
All right, Lynn.
Well, I want to hear what you say first, Dr. Rita Marie.
Well, from my perspective, you know, we keep saying we're going to put in our sales pages for all our programs that say, you know, technology challenged people need not apply, just because we see it a lot. But quite frankly, you know, many of them can get through it. So from my perspective, I understand. I've been on calls with the person you're referring to, and it is challenging. And what I found with her is she gets very belligerent at the beginning when she's frustrated, but it's working with her kindly and softly and saying, okay, how can we support you? I understand you're challenged with getting this technology to work. What can we do? You know, it's working with them. When there's a refund policy, especially at the price, ridiculously low price you offered that program for that included one-on-ones, I usually, they can't get a refund after I've given them one-on-one time. I'll give them a refund if it's a group program, but not on a one-on-one thing because it's a lot of time. It's challenging for me to handle just because I'm the opposite of a technology challenged person. I can look at technology and figure it out, very easily. And I don't know how to get into their headspace. So I can't relate to them well, but I just treat it with patience. And if it is something where it's like, no, I don't think you're going to be able to do this, I would definitely offer to give them a refund.
Because it wasn't even the technology challenge for me as it was. I mean, her email was really nasty with profanity.
Okay.
And with that kind of energy, I just figured that it was best to.
Yeah, you didn't want her in there. Yeah. The way I handle that, if somebody becomes belligerent in an email, either to my face or says something. We had this happen with somebody who was applying for a job once and didn't realize she had copied me on this email she wrote to her friend. And we all went, oh, I guess she didn't get the job. But I addressed it. But the way I did it was I wrote back to her and I said, I'm not sure that you intended for me to see this. And I'm really sorry that you feel this way. And I just don't think that we can continue having a relationship where there's so much mistrust and, and lack of kindness in the communication. So that's a way to do it. I don't think you intended for me to see this, but I hear your frustration here. And I just don't think it's going to work for us to continue together.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and Lynn probably has some other things to say, too.
Yes.
So being really clear, like you said, on the refund policy, I have this is what I have for my refund policy, or if somebody wants out, is the way I put it on the FAQ. Guess what? If it is best for you and your life, yes, you can totally get out. But if it's excuse, a doubt, a fear that is keeping you stuck, then we look through it. If circumstances change dramatically for you and your focus shifts to a place where this program or whatever is no longer highest and best, then I'll not hold you. This program, group, or whatever is for those committed greatly to their vision and willing to take action steps towards it. There are no refunds, but early exit is an option. So I have that right on the sales page, right at the beginning, so they understand that when they make that. And so, and I didn't look at your sales page to know if you had any type of an exit policy that we offer people. And like Dr. Rita Marie said, your price is so, it was priced, like you offered it. It's like, listen, I'm starting out. This is a ridiculously low price to get to, so I get to the practice and the feedback and, and so, yeah, no refunds. And so having something that honors both you and your efforts, because you spent time with her. You gave her your energy to help her understand that. And I understand her frustration because I've worked with her as well on technology. And any of our clients are – whether they're old or young or whatever, sometimes their health, it affects their brain and their perception of things. And
yeah.
So support, you know, so you honor yourself, which allows you to honor them and see where they're at. And like Dr. Rita Marie said, you know, there are no accidents. So it was no accident that you saw that email.
Right.
And so letting her know, hey, you may not have wanted me to see this, but I did, and these are my thoughts. I understand you have a desire to get out, but and you have that option to not be in. There are no refunds. But this is how I can further support you. And so that would be how I would do it, I think. I've had to deal with that person as well as other people, and just listening, putting a pause on when they start to loop into that same story, and pulling them out. But you have to honor yourself.
Yeah.
You have to honor yourself because you put a tremendous amount of energy and effort and love into that project, the people you work with.
Yes.
And while you can offer them that out, do not, in the future, I would say my thought is to not release the funds.
Okay. If they've already done the private coaching, and that might be a way to you know, if you decide that this program is not for you, as long as you ask for a refund within X period of time or within, you know, before we've sat one-on-one together, then you know, we'd be happy to refund.
I don't even do that. I just make it really clear. There are no refunds. And there may be people who don't sign up because of that. And
yes, the estimate in the marketing world is that you lose probably 20-30% of the people that would have signed up don't because of that.
Yeah, but in my experience too has been that if they're asking about.
Oh, they ask about refunds, it's a red flag. Yeah, you say, I don't think this program's for you right up front. If they ask about a refund policy before they even start.
Right.
Because a lot of those people are looking for an excuse to fail. And they want to blame it on
whoever. But even, right. Exactly. And if you let them know that that is not an option, it just means we need to date some more. I haven't taking them out for coffee enough or lunch enough or something. I don't know. But anyway, that's just what I'm offering right now.
I will tell you that from a refund policy standpoint, the only programs we don't have refund policies on that we have a no refund policy are our high-end programs, NEPT and ERC. The rest of them, we have some sort of length of time refund policy because they're, you know, once they commit and they come in, we're like, you know, all in for everybody. So that's a, you know, something to think about. But I think, you know, from this standpoint, I don't know that you're thinking so much about the funds. It's how do you handle somebody who comes off that aggressively? And because you don't want that energy to ruin the energy of the other folks in the program,
right,
as well as coming at you. And I think that when you handle it, I would address it straight on. Hey, you know, I see this and I have a feeling that you really didn't want me to see this. It was addressed to someone else, but I did see it. And you know, I'm really, I feel for you and I understand you're frustrated. How can we remedy this situation? But also or can we remedy this situation? And I do realize that that's not the way I am comfortable being treated or spoken about, so this may not be a good match.
How do you feel about this, Michelle, as we're talking?
I definitely see what you're saying, and I think it's because this is like the third time going through this loop with her, and As you were saying, Dr. Rita Marie, with all of my programs, actually, I put a lot of it, a lot of energy in it from up front in terms of one-on-one. That's why even with all of my programs, I'll do a preliminary consultation, which is like dirt cheap, because I want people to know me and me to know them, and it's kind of a vetting process now.
Yes.
And then when I up-level them into another program, there is no refund. Because, I mean, after I've spent hours doing your case review and spending time holding your hand and all that kind of stuff, I'm not in the refund kind of mood.
No.
It was just that in this case, the other thing that I considered is that she's very close with a couple of the other participants. And so I was just like, you know what? What's $97? It's really nothing in comparison to what I'm working on in the greater space.
Yes, absolutely. I hear you. Totally. Totally. And it could be that she became scared because she was in this situation in a program, whereas she was in a group with friends, and maybe there were things that were coming up that she wasn't comfortable revealing with friends that she might be willing to be revealing. If it was
that may be it, because in the work that we're doing, we're getting really deep.
Deep.
And
yep.
People are sharing things that are like, whoa. And I think she was probably overwhelmed. And she said, I guess I didn't know what this program was about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, we're here to do some serious work.
Yeah.
Right. And I do know that, she was kind of brought along on the shirt tails of at least one person.
Yeah, the Yaya sisters.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing is that they also know her. So it's not that they would be unfamiliar with that. You know.
Well, they know her, but it's new acquaintances. These are folks that they met here in the, they met in our Sweet Spot program. They did not meet. They're not long-term friends. So it may be that their relationship is at a certain level and your program is taking them on a much deeper level that they may not be comfortable with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they may not even be comfortable.
It's easier if you're in a group with strangers. But we've been going into some really deep trauma stuff that people,
which is what they all need.
People didn't even realize before the program was going on.
Absolutely. And when that stuff comes up, it's important to feel like you're in a safe environment. And if they're not, you know, for whatever reason, that may be what sent her running.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a great discussion, Michelle. And I think that, you know, other people can benefit from hearing that. I'd love to hear from other people as to what, because that stuff is going to come up, right? We go into, I'm a health coach, I'm a doctor, I'm a this, I'm a that, and I'm going to help people. And then suddenly you get slapped in the face by various things that, like, they didn't teach us about this in school. So.
Yeah, it might be good to find, I know we have some PBSS calls on dealing on working with our clients, and if you aren't already signed up, I would encourage you guys to sign up for the webinar that Laura Fine's doing, because a lot of it will be addressing this. But I was just looking to see if there's something we have in here.
We sent out the email this morning. We were supposed to. I haven't checked to see that it went out.
Yeah, we did. That's why I felt
go out
like,
this
okay,
morning.
I
yeah. When your clients don't follow your advice, that's one of them. When your clients don't follow your advice, yes, that's the.
But that's, you know, maybe we should consider having somebody come in and talk to us about working with people and their objections, both before and after they signed up.
Oh, you mean the from the sales perspective? Yeah, I know exactly the right person.
Coaching. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you address those things? Yes, I know some people that would be great at that. Okay. Put it on a list. I'm going to look to see if there's anybody signed up for this yet. Probably. Yeah, but definitely come to that call on Monday if you can, or watch the recording. We'll have the replay available for a few days. Oh, yeah. Wow. Lots of people signed up for this. Okay, cool. Very cool. Yeah, very cool. All right, good. Yeah, so it'll be a good call, and you know how Laura is. She just really knows how to, you know, it's that connection piece, right? So, cool. Whoa, yeah, good. All right. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Lynn. Who else? Questions, comments? Let's see who's chatted. Anything on the chat? Brandon. And Michelle, did you hear my answer? What's the difference between the FNC call today and the one tomorrow? It looks like you asked it twice, so I want to make sure. Oh, so you put, Lynn put her thing in. Lynn put her thing in. Good. Her refund policy. I may steal some of that language, Lynn, if that's okay with you. So who's next? Anybody else have questions or comments or things you want support with, help with, client cases, you know, whether it's from a coaching perspective, a technical perspective, lab perspective? Nope. Hands up. Star 2 raises your hand. And if we have a short call today, I'm not going to be too upset. So, Susan, I'm trying to unmute you. And there we go. You're unmuted, Susan.
Are you hearing me?
Definitely.
Okay. I have a quick question regarding a Dutch. And it's that, just that tiny little section about 5-alpha reducing activity.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got the two sides. You've got the 5-alpha preference and then the 5-beta preference.
Yep.
Can you talk to me about the 5-beta? If somebody's down in that low end of the 5-beta, what's the symptomology? What's that mean?
Well, if they're in the low end of the 5-beta, it means they're in the high end of the 5-alpha, which means that they have a 5-alpha reductase they're overproducing 5-alpha reductase. So if you mean...
Even if the dial shows that it's all the way over in the 5-alpha?
Okay, so let me just explain the dial. The way the dial is, whichever side it's pointing to, it means that's the dominant one. So if
correct.
It's pointing to the 5-beta, it means 5-beta is the dominant one.
Correct.
Okay, got it. All right. Yeah, so this came up on a call, on an NEPT case study call. I think it was Isabel's case. And I think it was Isabel. And we were going through it, and I'm like, huh, I never see this.
I've seen it on two different Dutch tests where it's a 5-beta.
Female. Males or females? Either one?
Females,
okay. Yeah, so hers was a female as well. And we started researching it, like, okay, what does this mean? Because I had not seen it before. There was never anything written up about it. We started looking into that it can be related to fatty liver. And I don't remember the exact mechanism, but there was when the liver gets fatty, we end up with a dominant of that. And she, when I asked her about that, she went, oh, my God, this person had this in the liver and this in the liver and this in the liver. So to be, it's not well documented. It was some obscure thing we picked up by looking at pathways and finding a couple of, you know, obscure research articles. But I look at that as let's look at their liver and let's start to support the liver.
Oh, okay. I would not have thought of that.
No, of course you wouldn't, because none of us did. Because it's not documented. It's not like part of the test. They don't write it. And that's what, you know, I love doing is like digging in to find like these obscure, weird reasons. But yeah, it seems like liver, so I'd look at the liver.
Yeah. Okay. And then just on another little part of that, I've just drawn a blank. I know I should know this, and I'm thinking it has something to do with using DIM to, when you have the 2-OH, I forget how to pronounce that.
I got you.
Yeah, when the 2, or I'm sorry, not the 2, when the 4-OH is a little higher than it should be and you want to reduce that, is that where the DIM comes in?
the dim, the cruciferous vegetables in general, the dim, the I3C, the broccoli sprout powder, broccoli sprouts, more cruciferous vegetables. Yes.
Okay. That's good.
Now you have to be a little careful if everything's super low and you overload them and give them dim or I3C or something that's really concentrated, because it could bring all the other estrogens down as well.
Oh, okay. So if the 16-OH is low, that could bring that down.
16-OH is often low when iodine is low.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, that's a juicy tidbit.
Yep. Yeah, if you look at one of the, we have a chart to that effect, and you can look at the chart and it shows that. But yeah, iodine is often low, so I'll often look at, you know, what's their thyroid function like? Have they had an iodine load test? Do they have iodine in their diet, which most people don't, because they don't eat vegetables and, you know, that sort of thing. And the land vegetables, the soil is so depleted in iodine that almost nothing has it from the land. So yeah, right. So that's where I would look. But yeah, whenever I see that 4-hydroxy being high, I'm most concerned with the 4-hydroxy being out of proportion high when the overall estrogens are, you know, either a medium or high levels, because that's where that 4-hydroxy gets into a dangerous place. And that's very proliferative and can contribute to breast cancer. Which is why it's very scary when you hear about people doing hormone replacement with people when they haven't done the testing, because if they've got a tendency to make more 4-hydroxy, but their estrogens are low, and now you give them a whole bunch more estrogen, they're going to actually have enough of it to be dangerous. Whereas at those very low levels, there's probably not enough of it to be dangerous. So it's just real important to look at that before starting to say, you know, oh yeah, they're taking bioidentical estrogen. Well, it may not be a good idea.
Okay, so well, that just leads me to another question. Like Biomatrix makes a bioidentical estrogen that is estriol only?
It's estriol only, there you're safe.
Okay, that's what I thought.
There you're safe, right. Right, that's an exception, right? The estriol is protective, same as progesterone. And you'll see it when you go through the reproductive module. We talk a lot about the estrogen receptors, so it's not just the receptors, and certainly estrone and estradiol will actually more stimulate the alpha receptors versus the beta receptors, and progesterone and estriol will gear more towards the beta, which is more protective. So there's a lot of complications there, which is why I just get so upset when I see just people going, oh yeah, my functional doctor did this test and I was low, so they put me on bioidentical estrogen. Well, let's look at this a little bit more carefully, and let's be like, if somebody has a lot of vaginal dryness, estriol suppositories or cream or the topical from Biomatrix works wonders, right? DHEA topically can help as well. But you don't have to worry about that as much as, but if they're putting them on, and some of them are just doing like the patch, there's a patch that's, I can't remember if it's just estradiol or estriol.
A lot of them are combinations of estradiol and estriol at an 80-20 or 20% estradiol and 80%.
And that's more the bioidentical approach, right? So that's going to be much safer. But a lot of conventional Western doctors will give a patch or a cream that's just estradiol.
Oh,
that's unsafe. And the bioidenticals are oftentimes, if they're done properly, it's 80-20, 80 estriol and 20, right? So that you get the balance in there. But you really have to be careful of those people who are there's a ring and there's all kinds of things that are the medical approach, it's just estradiol.
Right. Well, my sister-in-law, she's 67 or so, and she finally got a, it's not a Dutch test, but it was something that sort of like it, which I didn't think was as good, but it came up that her estrogens were all super low, which I figured would be the case. And her functional medicine doctor said to look into it, but she had breast cancer like 20 years ago. So she was like, I'm never, ever, ever taking it. And I was trying to explain to her that no, you don't want to take estrone, no, you don't want to take estradiol, but you might actually find some protection, especially she's coming up with her bone density is not good.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work with her and get her to.
It's hard because, you know, they're scared and the doctors don't really get the differences between the 4s, the 16s, and the 2s and the estradiol versus estradiol. So it's hard because, you know, the doctor told them this and they're scared. But when you do estriol and progesterone together, you have a double whammy in protection.
Right. Well, that's what I told her.
And broccoli.
She's going to have to do her own research. So I had her buy Dr. Rosensweet's book, Target Method, because he explains it so well in layman's terms.
Yeah. He does.
So, okay.
He does. You know, and he gave us, I don't know if it's still available, but if you go watch his ACR, he gave us a coupon where you can actually buy his professional course. It was like dirt cheap. I can't remember what it was years ago. So you might want to check into that as well.
Okay. Right. Because I'm really loving his method. I'm using it on myself and it's great. You know, you can just tweak it and work at that physiological level of dosing.
Exactly. Right. And putting you in control. Okay. Right. Let's go a little higher. Okay. Let's go a little higher. Oh, that's a good number. Yeah. Absolutely. Love it. You're really doing great. Thank you.
All right. That's it.
Okay. Bye, Susan.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. So Michelle, you have your hand up again, I think, because it's after Susan. So give me a second to try to open you. My computer's in fibromyalgia mode today and sluggish chronic fatigue. Takes a while before it moves when you stimulate it. Okay. Got it. Michelle.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. I have a client who was a victim in a gun shooting in a school shooting about 4 years ago. The bullet entered just nicked the lower left part of his liver. So it bypassed his intestines and all that good stuff. So that's pretty good. Now, when I looked at the blood chemistry panel, I was truly expecting to see horribleness in the area of the thyroid because he's extremely thin. He cannot gain weight. He's always shivering, always cold. And yet when we looked at the thyroid panel, everything was in the functional green. Wow. Except for the TSH, which leads me to believe that it's higher up the food chain, either the pituitary or the hypothalamus. And I'm thinking more so the hypothalamus since it regulates things like temperature and that kind of regulation.
Well, before you go on, just let me ask you this. When you say his TSH was off, was TSH high or low?
It was low.
It was low, extremely low. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking further up the food chain, and I was thinking probably more so the hypothalamus since it also regulates the your temperature regulation.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to know, what can you do to reset that? Because I know I read somewhere that trauma throws it offline.
Yeah. Yeah, trauma can definitely throw it offline. There are some approaches, like I think it's Standard Process has a hypothalamus pituitary glandular tissue that sometimes helps to nourish that. So that's one, I kind of look at that as a partially band-aid approach. So like, how do you look at why would the hypothalamus be off? Okay, so stress, right? When the whole hypothalamic pituitary adrenal thyroid axis, right? But the stress of being in something like that, where it's the emotional stress, it's got to be like a PTSD kind of thing playing in his brain.
We're gonna be doing stuff with heart math and all that kind of other stuff. I was just wondering if there was anything nutritionally that could be done to support it also.
Yeah, I would look at those tissue products as you, but I just wanted to make sure. Yes, as long as you're working on the emotional and the trauma and all that, I would say look at Standard Process's pituitary hypothalamus tissue. Then you don't have to differentiate. You can just go, okay, let's give it a try. And then it gives some nourishment, some support. And then you know all the nutrients that those tissues require are actually in those products.
Yeah. Plus we're doing a Dutch test and an organic acid. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Wow. That's really hard. How old is this person?
He's only 25.
Oh, gosh.
This happened when he was 20.
Ugh. So, those kind of traumas, like the fear that must generate and the whole,
yeah.
You know, constant sympathetic drive dominance can be very long lasting. So it's a good thing that you're stepping in here when he's so young. So he doesn't have to live with that for the next 50 years.
And I was curious because he's confined to a wheelchair. He's lost everything from the waist down.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Is that like permanent or is there a possibility of reset?
Well, did the bullet go in more than just the liver?
I think he said liver and, I think he said T something. I can't remember.
Something. I was going to say something in the spine because I would expect that there was, the lumbar spine and the sacrum area, the nerves that come off of there control the lower extremity. So it's bilateral, the loss of use of his legs?
Yes, the use of
and
both legs.
He has bowel or bladder control.
He's on a catheter.
He's on a catheter, so he doesn't. So it sounds like it went in his spine. And it sounds like it was the lower part of the spine, like in the sacral or, the lumbar region to affect bowel and bladder function. It's usually sacral.
Because would that also, he has very sluggish bowels. Are those nerves connected to that area of the spine also?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Usually we see loss of bowel and bladder function where they, but you're saying it's the opposite, right? He's not having, he has a catheter to try to control that. But definitely affects that.
He has to use a catheter because that's the only way he can void.
That's the only way, right. So it could be go either way. Oftentimes we see when there's problems with those lower spinal nerves is loss of bowel or bladder function. So they tend to void when they're not intending to. But you're saying he has the opposite. He has sluggish bowels and he needs a catheter to be able to pee. But there's definitely some involvement of the sacral. And it could have been, spinal cord. Like, where did it hit the liver? Is it the right below the rib in the medial, closer to the midline, or out further? It sounds to me like it might have been midline, and then it went through and hit the spinal cord.
I don't have the specifics.
Yeah. It sounds to me like if it went in, my guess is that it went in more to the medial side, so it hit the liver closer to the midline, or came in at an angle. And then hit in, it could have been the thoracics where it went not in the spinal nerves themselves, but it sounds more like a spinal cord. And then that spinal cord, anything below that level would be impacted. And is that repairable? Probably not.
So what about the bowel function? Is it something that we're just going to have to depend on kind of manual manipulation to be able to get it more regular?
Well, it depends. You'd have to look. You see, not knowing, I'm just kind of guessing, but based on what you're saying, if it wasn't multiple bullets, if it was one bullet, it sounds like it went in through the spinal cord and impacted some of the nerve coming down. And so it affects anything below that level. I think without examining him and having, somebody look at him from a neurology standpoint, a really good neurological exam, but also like from a physical medicine standpoint to see if there's some things that could be affecting it. But it really sounds to me like it's a spinal cord thing.
So I need to find out exactly which T's it influenced, it impacted.
Well, yeah, but did it go through the spinal cord or did it affect the spinal nerves? It sounds to me more like it went midline and affected all the nerves below it. That's just based on what you're telling me. Because in the thoracic region, if it was an impact of like, say, it broke through one of the thoracic vertebrae, that sounds like what that was. It went through one of the thoracic vertebrae, but it had to have nicked the spinal cord at that point. Because if it was just one of the thoracic nerves, that wouldn't affect all the functioning of his complete lower body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Wow, that's really sad. 25 years old. How awful. Okay. All right. Let me look to see if anybody else has put in questions or chat. Nothing on questions? Chat. Let's look at chat. All right. Okay. I don't see any other questions. And let's see. Anybody else have questions or comments before we call it a day? No? Yes? Last chance? All right. Going once, going twice. Last chance. Okay. So I will end the call now. I will hit the interaction so we can all say goodbye to each other. If you're going to be, this might be the last call that I see several of you on. If you're in, not in NEPT, it looks like everybody on the call today is in NEPT. So, we have other calls. I think we have one more call this week. And if I don't see you before that, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season and get some rest and really refocus on what do you want to achieve for yourself in 2019. So you guys take care and we'll talk to you soon. Bye bye. Somebody's playing Christmas music. Who's that?
Hey, that's me.
Oh, Brandon, Frosty the Snowman. Thank you, Brandon, for the entertainment.
Hey, you're welcome.
You guys have a fun time and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.